You're listening to Polsinelli Podcasts, a weekly podcast produced by national law firm Polsinelli, providing practical legal guidance for better business decisions.
During and after the holidays, many employees are looking for opportunities to work additional hours in order to make some extra money. Now, this can raise questions regarding the proper treatment, classification, and compensation of employees, particularly those employees that perform both non-exempt and exempt work, and non-exempt employees working jobs at different rates of pay for the same employer. Now, I'm Robert Hingula, and I'm a shareholder in Polsinelli's Labor and Employment Group. My primary focus is defending employers and FLSA collective actions, as well as guiding employers through the FLSA's regulations and pitfalls to ensure that the employers are compliant with the law and avoid litigation. So let's tackle this topic. Now, as you're probably already aware, employees are either classified as exempt or non-exempt. And pursuant to the FLSA regulations, an employee cannot hold multiple status, which means that he or she is either exempt for all purposes or non-exempt for all purposes. Now, to know which status applies, an employer must determine whether the exempt duties or non-exempt duties constitute the employee's primary duty. And the FLSA defines primary duty as the principal, main, major, or most important duty that the employee performs. Now, determining employee's primary duty is done by considering all the facts in a particular case with a major emphasis on the character of the employee's job as a whole. Now, because an employee can only hold one status, a non-exempt employee whose primary duty is performing non-exempt work will also be considered non-exempt under the FLSA, even if they perform some exempt duties, and vice versa. You know, so if an exempt employee performs some non-exempt work, it is not going to make them lose their exempt status. Now, understand that the percentage of time actually spent performing either exempt or non-exempt duties is important in that analysis, but does not necessarily determine exempt status. So while the FLSA provides that employees who spend more than 50% of his or her time performing exempt duties will generally be exempt, there's no regulation actually requiring that employee spend more than 50% of their time performing only exempt duties. Now, another caveat to that is that state laws may impose a requirement that an employee perform exempt duties for a particular percentage of time to actually qualify for an exemption. And one of the biggest examples comes to is California. They require over 50%. So let's say you do all the analysis and you have now determined whether your employee is either exempt or non-exempt. Now the question is, how do you properly compensate exempt and non-exempt duties for extra hours worked? Now, generally, if an employee is an exempt employee working more hours than normal, he or she is exempt from overtime, is not entitled to any additional compensation whatsoever. But the FLSA regulations state that an employer may provide exempt employees with an additional compensation without losing the exemption or violating the salary basis requirement under certain circumstances. So, for example, if an exempt employee has a salary of, let's say, $1,000 per week, but an employer agrees to pay the employee, let's say, $25 per hour anytime the exempt employee works over 50 hours in a work week, the employee is not automatically converted to non-exempt, okay? Now, this assumes that the employees meet the FLSA exemption and that the employee is paid on a true salary basis, which is a requirement of most exemptions. Now, let's switch to non-exempt employees. If a non-exempt employee works extra shifts at their same rate of pay and the employee works over 40 hours in a work week, the calculation of overtime is simple, right? The employee is paid at time and a half their normal hourly rate. But what happens if a non-exempt employee picks up an extra shift for the same employer and then that shift pays a different rate of pay than the employee's normal hourly rate? Well, the FLSA actually provides a calculation of what's called a blended regular rate to which overtime is calculated. And what the FLSA provides is that an employer adds all the compensation earned from work from one wage rate and then adds that to all the other compensation earned from work from the other wage rate. Okay, so you get that total of compensation for the week. Then you divide that amount by the total hours that they worked, doesn't matter what area, and then you divide that by two, and that's your new halftime for overtime. Then you multiply that overtime hours by that new halftime and add that new amount to the underlying wages. So I know that was a lot, so let me give you a quick, dirty example with some numbers. So let's say an employee works 40 hours a week at his normal rate of $10 an hour, and then works 20 hours in the same week at an extra shift for $7.50 an hour. The employee's pay would be calculated as follows. You multiply $10 times 40, and you add that to $7.50 times 20, and you get $5.50 total. So they earned $550 total for that week from working. Now, they worked a total of 60 hours. So you divide $550 by 60 hours, and you get a new rate of $9.17. And this is the new regular rate that we're talking about of blending it together. So the employee works 60 hours, so they have 20 hours of overtime. Now we take that 917 and we divide it by 2 and we get a rate, and then we multiply that by the 20 hours of overtime and you get a total of $91.70. So the full compensation for that employee for that week is $91.70 plus $550, which remember is their underlying wages for working, and their total compensation for that week then would be $641.70. Now, alternatively, where an employee performs two or more different kinds of non-exempt work for which different straight time hour rates apply, the employee may agree with their employer in advance that he or she will be paid during overtime hours at a rate not less than 1.5 times the regular rate established for the type of work he or she is performing during such overtime hours. That is straight from the regulation, and that's a big question I'm sure you're looking at and saying, what does that exactly mean? Now, what that means is that if the employee works 40 hours in a work week, already the starting, and then they start their overtime at 41, and they're performing a job that is paying at $10 an hour, then they would get their overtime based on that $10 an hour rate, which means that they would be making about $15 an hour. Now, on the flip side is if they were working the overtime hours on a rate of making $7.50 an hour, then their overtime rate would be based on that $7.50 an hour, not the $10 an hour, not the blended rate. Now, remember, this has to be agreed to in advance, and it's highly recommended that if you follow this and decide to take advantage of this, that the understanding is in writing, signed by the employee. So, again, what this means is that the employee can agree with their employer in advance that any overtime the employee works will be paid at the applicable overtime rate for the job actually performed at that time. Now, this is all very complicated. The FLSA is a really complicated statute, so it is imperative to ensure employees are always classified properly so you can ensure that they are compensated properly for all hours worked and you avoid any type of litigation. And, of course, it's always recommended to engage qualified wage and hour counsel to help you identify what your employees' primary duties are so that you can compensate them appropriately and classify them appropriately.
Thanks for listening to Polsinelli Podcast. We'd like to remind you that the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and it should not be based solely upon advertising. The information in this podcast is not intended to be legal advice and is for informational purposes only. If you'd like more information on Polsinelli, visit polsinelli.com.